Let's turn in God's Word to Proverbs 15:11. Proverbs 15:11. As we consider this very solemn verse. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? Now we began to look at this the last time that we were together when I was speaking on this verse. If hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? And I stated at that time that much of this has been taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, which gave this message 150 years ago this Thursday, on February the 14th, 150 years ago. He entitled it, God the All-Seeing One. And I want to review what we went over, because we need to have this, all of this in one picture before our eyes. We do have a tendency, let's turn to Proverbs or Psalm 135. We have a tendency to think upon the heathen and their how that they worship gods of stone and statues and things that they have made, wood, Psalm 135:15, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And it wouldn't matter whether they were of gold or whether they are of wood or whether they are of stone, it is still the works of men's hands, and it is as of nothing. Because they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. So, while the world would, many of the heathen would create these things that are something of their own creation, and while they may seek to make them very life-like in appearance, by giving them mouths and eyes and ears, noses, they are nothing more than a man's creation. And if it were possible that God was like the God of the heathen, that he was wood or stone, and was not omniscient, that he was not all-seeing and all-knowing, the question would be asked, would our actions be any different than what they are now? Would we change how we act because those of us that are believers profess to believe that God is omniscient, that he is all-seeing and all-knowing, that he sees us in everything that we do and everything that we say and all of our actions. But if it were not that way, would we do things differently? Because we would not know that God is looking at us, and God does not see us. And the fact of the matter is, probably not. We would probably not, because many times now we do not. We actually live our lives as though, oftentimes, as though God could not see us by the things that we do and by the things that we say. And so at that point, we are forgetful of God, and we are forgetful that He is all-seeing, and that God's eye is always upon us. Because when we do those things, we live as if there were no God at all. We live as if there is no eye inspecting our actions or no ear listening to our voices and the things that we say. Now, our verse, hell, the first part of our verse, hell and destruction are before the Lord. So we're looking at those two words, hell and destruction. These words might be translated death and destruction. First, hell, which is translated death, or the place of departed spirits. Now, death, with all of its consequences, is visible before God. God can see death, and all that surrounds death is open before God. What we know of death and what lies after death, we know very, very little. Because when we die, or our loved ones die, we know very little about what passes beyond that point. It's not in the realm of our knowledge, but it is in all of the realm of God's knowledge. He knows all of it, just as much as He knows all before death, before that individual's death. God understands all of the secrets of death. And as I stated before, God knows the burying place of every single solitary individual. Whether that person has been buried in a tomb, or whether that person has died in the wilderness and his body has just decayed, God knows the burying place. Both body and soul. He is aware of both the body and the soul of every individual. That person that dies in the desert without anyone around, dies of thirst, and his body decays in the desert, God knows of that individual. There is no body, no physical body of any man, regardless of how it may have been buried or not buried, that has passed beyond the range of God's knowledge. And Spurgeon said of himself, and I'm paraphrasing here, that he would be just as pleased to be buried in the small, neglected corner of a churchyard than he would be to be buried with great pomp and singing and those that would speak over his coffin. He would be just as pleased to be buried in a neglected corner of a churchyard than to be given a great burial, because God knows right where he is and everything about him. God knows no such thing as forgetfulness of the burying place of his children. And how comforting that should be to each and every one of us. We don't know the burying place of Moses. Methuselah, David, none of these. Abel, but God knows them and everything about them. And then the question would be asked, what about those that may have been eaten by a wild beast? What about that person? God knows every atom, not just the person himself, but every atom of an individual. And God, in His omnipotence and omniscience, is able to bring all of that together and create that body again. He is able to bring every atom back together if He wanted to. Those bodies that have decayed and into dust, and the wind has taken that dust and blown it every which way, God is able to bring every particle of that dust back together. Death is open before the Lord. So, when we think of how God is able to view death and sees death, hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? The next word here, destruction, signifies hell, or the place of the damned, where hell is and the miseries there. We don't know about that either. But we can be thankful that we don't know of it. We know of it from God's Word, but we don't know of it because we've experienced it or because we've been given an eye to see it. To see the sufferings of those that are in hell. To hear their moaning and crying and cursing. That burns for eternity in hell. If we were able to see that and behold that, we would not be able to take it in. And as Spurgeon says, it would literally drive one mad if he were able to actually see into the pits of hell. But while God has mercifully covered all of these things from us, they are all known to Him. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So the question is, why does it follow that the hearts of men are seen by God? What is man's heart? What is man himself? Man himself is described in the Scriptures as a grasshopper. Man will think that he is so great and so powerful and so knowledgeable in everything. And yet to the Lord, man is nothing more than a grasshopper. Because the all-seeing eye of God sees death and sees hell through and through with all of its bottomless depths. And how much more does God see the actions of the tiny man, or into man's heart? God that can divide and the depths of science and all of history, the whole world and its creation from the beginning of time, even from before the creation of the world, is not going to be put off by anything of an individual, by you or by me or by anyone. He is going to know them through and through, because God can see the heart. He can move down into and view the very heart of an individual, of you and of me. death and hell. All of history, the entirety of history is known to God. And that solemn statement of Spurgeon's, he says, you are here today and you are gone tomorrow. And in a moment, Spurgeon says, it will be said of you and of me, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And those clods of dirt are going to be falling on your coffin. And as Pastor Bell has said many times, in less than 100 years, not one of us in this room, regardless of age, will be here any longer. And if the Lord has not come again by that time, we will have already been the center of attention at our own funeral. And we'll be gone. This entire assembly will be gone. This fellowship will be no more. We will then have stepped into eternity, either into heaven or into hell. And as God sees us right now, He will see us then just as clearly. God is able to search the heart. It is like having a search warrant for your home that the police may have suspected that you are harboring a criminal. And they get a search warrant for your home. And they come in and they take that home entirely apart. And they search it from top to bottom. They look under the floors. They look in the attics. They look in the walls. They look everywhere. And they search it through and through. And when it's done and no one is found, they say, no one is here. We have thoroughly searched this building. It is much like that with God and our hearts. God is able to search your and my heart. There is not one crack, not one crevice, not one hiding place of any little secret sin that you might try and hide in your heart that God is not able to search and find out. Because it is all open before God's all-seeing eye. We think that we are hiding something from God. We think that because it just slightly passes through our mind and we really don't dwell on it, but yet we enjoy it and we kind of hide it away in our hearts, and then we go back to it from time to time and we think upon it again, and we think that God does not see that. And yet God does see that. He sees our hearts as clearly as if a searchlight were shining right on it. Our hearts are just opened up, and whatever would be hiding there is plain to His sight. There is nowhere to hide from God. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And Luke 15:8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And the picture here is that a piece of silver has been lost, and what takes place? A light is brought in to shine and to look for that which has been lost. It's a thorough search. Can anyone hide himself in a secret place that the Lord shall not see him? Psalm 7, verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. God is said to try the reins. That is even more than searching. It is like the goldsmith that examines the piece of gold and he puts it in the furnace where he can know it and is able to see what is gold and what is dross. So God knows every carat how much there is of sound gold in us and how much there is in us of dross. And if God were able to stamp on each one of us what carat of gold we were, what would be the stamp that He would put upon us? What stamp, what carat of gold would we be? Would we be the highest that there is? Or would we be barely having any gold in us at all? God is able to do that. God knows exactly how much there is of gold and how much there is of dross in each one of us when He tries our hearts. He has and is able to put our hearts into the furnace of His omniscience. He tries us so much more than that goldsmith would try the gold. He knows how much hypocrisy there is within each one of us. He knows how much truth there is within each one of us. Or how much sham, or how much is actually real. How much ignorance there is in us. Or how much knowledge, how much devotion, how much blasphemy, how much carefulness, and how much carelessness there is within each one of us. God knows all of the ingredients that make up our heart. And He is able to reduce it down to just that which is pristine and pure gold. So much of it is quartz, and so much of it is gold, and so much of it is dross, and wood, and hay, and stubble. The Lord trieth the hearts and searcheth the reins of the children of men. And yet there is another description of God's knowledge of the heart. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord ponders our hearts. And this is to weigh the heart. And we'll begin looking at this evening, of how God weighs our hearts. Putting God's Word into one scale and our hearts into another. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, These are solemn things to think about. And Lord, may we leave here and think upon these things as we ponder not just our own hearts, which this should truly lead us to do, but as we ponder how much of the Word of God we have in our hearts compared to the dross that is in our hearts. So Lord, we do pray that we might contemplate all that we have heard today, and that we might realize how quickly it will be said of us, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and we will have taken our last breath. We will have entered into eternity. And no preaching, no amount of preaching, no amount of kind words at that point, at our funeral, will be able to change the eternal state of our soul. May we think upon these things, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you.